This is a reading from Whispers from Eternity, a book of prayer demands written by Paramahansa Yogananda. Number 23, prayer demand for removing the cork of ignorance. No more shall my consciousness remain bottled in this little vessel of flesh corked with ignorance. No more will I remain moving through the sea of cosmic consciousness, night and day, years, decades, and how many incarnations, so close, yet never able to contact thy sea. Through the bursting vibration of cosmic sound and the surging of thy holy name, I have removed the cork of ignorance which so long separated me from thee. Though we lived together so closely, it separated us. Now my body consciousness will meet thy all-surrounding, all-pervading consciousness. No longer will I walk heedlessly in thee, but never knowing and feeling thee. Thine image within me shall meet thine image everywhere. By releasing the I-ness in me, I will know that I am thou, and that thou alone art the little ego of us all. This reading today, How Devotees Rise, it's really, of course, the story of our whole path. That's what we're doing. When I walked out here a little bit ago and I looked at this picture of Swamiji and Master, it's a little picture. I think most of you know it already, but if you don't, maybe come up later and look at it. It just tugged on me in a new way because, like the reading and the essence of this talk of right action set, that's coming from the consciousness of the divine. It's not just out in the world trying to do right things, but really feeling God's consciousness within us and serving in that way, that combination of serving and knowing God, which of course we get to in meditation, is how we really move along this path. And this picture, the whole energy of Swamiji making this offering to Yogananda, it just captures it. Of course, there's no words, but the energy with which Swamiji is with his guru, the extraordinary connection that Swamiji's making with this little gift and God consciousness just carries the essence of what this talk is all about, really. There are so many ways to fall in this world. There's an infinite number of ways to fall, which was last week's reading. But there's really only one way to rise, and that is to do everything that we can do to link our consciousness with the consciousness of the divine, to become ever increasingly more and more deeply attuned to God. That's the only way there is. And that's, of course, what we're learning throughout this life. I wanted to start today by reading again the piece from the Gita from last week. It's so powerful. It so sets the stage for not necessarily how we rise, but it certainly inspires us to rise, because it's a chilling account of just how quickly and easily we can lose our footing on the path. So not to just leave us terrified, but to be able to awaken in all of us this as deep a desire as we need to move forward on the path, because it's not delusion just doesn't come and present itself and say, here I am, I'm delusion, I'm trying to get you. and give us that opportunity to turn away. It doesn't work like that. We don't see it. We don't know it. It gets more and more and more subtle. So I wanted to read this once again. We've heard this reading many times, but this is in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says to Arjuna, if one ponders on sense objects, and that word sense objects, it's not simply, in the strictest sense, sensual objects. It's not simply food or enjoying sights or a sexual attraction. It's not just that. In that phrase means all of the things that we can ponder, everything that we want just a little more of, or we think we could do just a little better. It's whatever it is that we think is going to bring us happiness, that's going to make us content. And we think about it, we ponder on it, as Krishna says, and we become attached to it. And Krishna says, when we ponder those things, that which we think will bring us happiness, there springs up attraction to them. From attraction grows desire. Of course, that's how it would go. Desire, impatient for fulfillment, flames to anger. And you just feel this. If you read it slowly enough, how many examples in our own life can we think of where we wanted something, we became convinced we needed it, we went after it, we didn't get it, we found ourselves frustrated, we found ourselves angry about not being able to have it, whether it's an interpersonal issue or a thing in the world. From anger, there arises infatuation or that delusion that that one object alone is worth clinging to. From infatuation ensues forgetfulness of the higher self. From that forgetfulness follows degeneration of the discriminative faculty. That's what happens. We get so caught up in any of the delusions, all of the delusions, that we lose our ability to discriminate. We literally lose the ability to see what it is and to make conscious, wisdom-informed decisions. And when discrimination is lost, there follows the annihilation of one's spiritual life. That's really a chilling account of what happens over and over. And it happened to Judas, which is just in some way terrifying. You know, I just read this historical fiction book about the life of Jesus. It was really very well done, I have to say. I would recommend it, but it doesn't matter. The book was called The Book of Longings. And it's a very good book. But in there, because it's a fictional account, she has the room and the right to make all of the characters what she wants them to be. So she really develops this character of Judas. Now, we don't necessarily need it to be developed because Judas was one of the disciples. He was very close to Jesus, and we know that. But in this book that I was just reading as last week and this week happened, I just finished it, you really get to like Judas, and you see how much he cared about what he was doing and how much he felt that what he was doing was going to be for the good of the good people of the time. He absolutely believed that he saw how to defeat the Romans. Now, that's just not that far from all of our own stories. When we feel pretty sure that we see the way to, usually again, our happiness, and then we see what happened to him, how far he fell, and by the time the realization came, wow, I was really off track here. He was so off track. He couldn't live with himself. Literally, as we all know, he was compelled to commit suicide because it just went like that. Even the whole time with God himself telling him, no, that's not the way, Judas. We need to do this a different way. I'm telling you, I know. And many times Jesus was that direct with Judas. I have spoken. I have told you. And Judas loved Jesus and respected him. So what am I saying? I'm saying it's so easy to go the way of delusion. It so compels us to want to open to any intuition, to any guidance, to do whatever we can do to become as deeply attuned as we can. And Swamiji says at some point, I don't think it was in this reading, maybe it was last week, he says, rarely do people fall this far. Of course, we don't all have the opportunity to have God himself incarnate, crucified, but we do have the ability to kill the divine within ourselves over and over, and we do that. But Swami says, even if we don't fall that far, we are constantly challenged throughout life. It's a constant and serious, I forget Swamiji's word right now, but in this subtle web of delusion that we are just given the opportunity again and again to make conscious decisions again, because the only way up is by looking towards the light, by raising our consciousness constantly and over towards God. It takes energy. It's not a passive exercise. It takes a commitment to the consciousness that we want to find ourselves living in. Then Swami wrote, it's just masterful. I had never really seen it before, even if I've read it. I didn't really see it. But Swami wrote, after what we read last week, this happens, this happens, this happens, until we reach the annihilation of our spiritual life. Swamiji says, inherent in that reading is a promise, almost, that there's a way out, that we're being told, look at what happened here. You don't have to go that way. And so he writes the steps up. Those are the steps down. He writes the step up. Swamiji says, implicit in this warning of the Gita is a concomitant promise. He said, for when a person, first of all, concentrates on spiritual ideals, he feels himself attracted to them. That's the first step. So that we just begin to train even our mind to focus on spiritual ideals, that we pay attention in the ways that we know. Who do we spend time with? What do we read? Following ourselves, what choices are we making? Because as we start to do that, the attraction towards them can increases. It's subtle. But suddenly, because the soul remembers, and the soul knows the truth when it hears it, even if we're not ready to make all of those decisions towards the light, long before that, I've told you, all of you probably, the story many years ago when I was sitting at a dinner table with Swamiji. This had to have been in the very early 80s, and we were there as part of a fundraising dinner that was going on. And there were about 16 or 18 of us around the table. And I've pondered this many times. Swamiji looked right at me and said, in front of this whole table of people, he called me and my husband, my Barry number one, I call him. He said, Shanti and Barry, he didn't say they're good people. He wouldn't have used that word. But he said, they're just still so wrapped up in their ego. Basically, this is what he said, but he used the word ego. They're so egoic. When they get by that, they'll, I can't remember the end of the sentence, but it didn't matter. Find more peace, have more to contribute. The point was, he announced to this whole table that we were very egoic. And I've often thought about it because I didn't feel upset by it. Now, the very nature of being egoic, you would think that you would be upset if that was just announced to, you know, all of the people that were there, all of the people from Ananda Village and other guests. And I realized just yesterday, I mean, when I was looking at some of these readings, because the soul remembers, even if we're still unconscious of it, we know the truth when we hear it. And I'm saying this now based on Swamiji saying, start to concentrate on spiritual ideals because then you become attracted to them. Well, of course we are because our soul remembers. I had no idea really what Swamiji was saying, but my soul knew it. It understood and it did not rebel against it. It didn't want to act out or deny it. It took it in as a gift almost. I felt that at the time. And then Swamiji says, from this attraction grows the desire to live by them. And this is not with our conscious, this is not with conscious effort. We're not saying every day, I'll just focus on these spiritual ideals and then I'll want to live by them. Swamiji's saying, just start this energy going. And because it's what your soul wants, because there's a natural tendency, an absolute must, we'll all fall. We know that. That's part of the design of the human condition. How far we fall, how long we stay down there, that's up to us. But the other side of that, that's so beautiful, is that we'll all rise. We have to. And so as we're rising, Swamiji, as we're coming back to our true nature, Swamiji is just writing out the way here. From attraction grows the desire to live by them. The desire to live spiritually develops into an intense yearning for God. And I bet at least most of us in this room, if not all of us, has so far, we know what Swamiji is saying. We've done this. We've started thinking of spiritual things. We felt attracted. And now we are feeling an intense yearning for God. So we're looking at how devotees rise. And Swamiji has just given us the answer here. We'll all rise. And he's just writing it out for us. And then he says, such divine yearning. And then he uses the phrase that Krishna used in the Gita when Krishna said desire flames to anger. Swamiji says, such divine yearning flames to impatience with everything that might prevent one from realizing him. So we begin to feel that how impossible it gets to be to keep ourselves in situations that draw our energy in a different direction from where we want to go. It's just this perfect path. And again, I felt it. I bet you have. Suddenly, you can't listen to the same music. You don't want to be in certain buildings or restaurants. Maybe you even have friends or family that you find less of a desire or even an ability to be near. Because as we're rising, as we are attuning ourselves ever more deeply to God, this is what begins to happen. And then he says, from this impatience with lesser realities arises total absorption in the consciousness of God. Now that's very beautiful, and I'm waiting for that to happen. Total absorption in the consciousness of God. But Swamiji is showing us, in a way, what this feels like is not how easy, but how perfectly natural it is for us to go in this direction, and how simple, again, not easy, but how simple it is to follow these steps to total absorption in the consciousness of God. And then he says, and from sense forgetfulness, so sense forgetfulness, not self-forgetfulness, arises indifference to worldly modes of thinking and behaving. That's just what happens. And it's just like life flowing on as a river. If we are keeping ourselves headed in the right direction, and then estrangement from consciousness result from worldly consciousness, estrangement from worldly consciousness results in the complete annihilation of delusion. Isn't that beautiful? He takes the exact words of the Gita, but he says, if you wonder how it is that devotees rise, this is how you do it. Because of course we're all going to be drawn out into delusion. This is why they're constantly trying to show us. Master said, at the first thought of delusion, the first realization, the minute you see where you're going, that's the moment that you grab it and you take yourself back in and back up. And that everything we're doing is helping us be more and more willing to give up our ego. Again, something that sounds easy, but of course it's not. It means giving up every preference, every desire. We don't want to do that. You know, there's a story that I've also told before, but not for a while. When Sergio was here, I don't know how many years ago it was, he told us this story that Swamiji gave him a watch. It was an old watch that Swamiji had. They had to go look for it. They had to replace at least the battery. And he told Sergio, who's one of the, who's he and Narayani, his wife Narayani, lead the center in Mumbai. So deep on the path, center leader now, he wasn't then, but really a beautiful soul, gave him a watch, and he told him to wear the watch. And the next day, he said to Sergio, what time do you have? And Sergio said, I have 3:17, Swamiji. Swamiji said, that's interesting. I have 3:15. Fix your watch. So Sergio did. And the next day, Swamiji said to him at some point, what time do you have, Sergio? And he said, I have 4:26, Swamiji. Swamiji says, I have 4:28. So Sergio adjusts his watch. And the next day, Swamiji said to him, what time do you have? And Sergio told him. And Swamiji said, and how many seconds? And Sergio told him. And then they counted the seconds together. It's that degree of perfect attunement. What a beautiful lesson Swamiji gave to Sergio then. And then to all of us, how it is we become perfectly attuned. The minutes matter, the seconds matter when we're looking for God, and to constantly remind ourselves that God is with us. There's another, it's not a story, but Swamiji said one time he got into this mode of thinking. He was asking himself, have I ever done anything that pleases, that's pleased Master? I mean, can you imagine? He said this in to a group, if not a public talk. He said, I got into thinking that. And you just think, this is Swami Kriyananda, who's every minute of his life, every second, every bit of his energy was in tune with Master. But then he said, in the next minute, in the next second, in a moment was the word he used, I realized it was Satan planting that thought in my head. Very important for us at the first moment of delusion, as we're moving down this path towards God, that we nip it in the bud. That's not what most of us do. We mull it over, we give it energy, we wonder about it. I forget now what saint it was. Some saint said, we just take our emotions too seriously, all humans. And it's really true. And again, each of these things, how do we rise? We keep doing as often as we can. We remember these stories. Is this as deeply attuned as I can be? How can I raise my energy and keep it constantly focused on God? I had a really interesting experience these last few days. I've been with a dear friend who just had a total knee replacement on Thursday. It's a very difficult surgery, very painful. Unfortunately, it gets much more painful than she's been in for these first 3 days, but that's just what will happen. But at one point, she had to be laying flat, one of the exercises, and raise your leg. And it was just a very difficult position for her to get into. And she was trying very hard to do it and fighting it. And then I said to her, Donna, you're a hatha yogi. Go into Shavasana. Just go into that pose. And instantly, and it's not like it lasted and she was able to constantly be out of her pain, but instantly, although she had been having me adjust the pillow and move the ice and fix my heel and fix my toes, literally, sometimes for over an hour, I would be making adjustments. But as soon as I said to her, I touched her, focus here and go into Shavasana, her entire body relaxed. There's no room for us in all of this, in all of the ways that we're looking to go back to God. We're looking to rise. No room for rational thinking here, for trying to figure it out. It doesn't work. We have to find the way to get out of our minds. In that moment, for her, it was deep relaxation. For us, it could easily be something else at another time. This whole part of the reading that has been now repeated twice, this comment that Jesus made and Swamiji elaborated on a little bit, where Jesus said to Judas, he said, the poor ye have always, but me you do not have always. And Swamiji said, he wasn't really talking about poverty or riches in terms of the coins that Judas wanted, but rather a spiritual kind of poverty as opposed to the spiritual richness. Jesus was saying to him, here I am, right here, and I don't remember Swamiji's exact words, but spiritual gifts, they're not ordinary. They don't come to us all the time. They're extraordinary. And because of that, again, on our way to rising, we have to stop and appreciate them and go as deep in them as we can. Swami tells that story of when he was in SRW, and he was in a very deep meditation at one point. But he had this habit, some of you will remember, it's probably in the path, the new path, of going, getting his lunch at a certain time. And he was in this very deep meditation, and he noticed, somehow it came to him, that it was lunchtime. And he said to himself, I'll just leave my meditation, go and get my lunch, put it aside, and then I will come back to the meditation. And he said it was a very long time, not just that day, but a long time before he could go that deep in meditation again. Again, the lesson for us is that whenever we can notice that we're being given a spiritual gift, which in our lives is often, we all have that. Even if we're sitting in front of our altars or we're in this beautiful temple or we hear a great talk or we have a moment of deep or utter stillness, to stay with it, to not get fooled again. This is the sense pleasures. For Swamiji, it was the thought that he had to go and get his lunch and put it away. It's just, it's such an obvious lesson for us to live in that uplifted spiritual moment and not be drawn out. We just push those times away like we're moving clouds aside, and we stay where we are and we celebrate spiritual moments. Because again, in this whole path that Swamiji laid out for us, the more we do that, the deeper we go in our connection and in our relationship to God. These are all such beautiful tools for us to hold. The actual title of the reading today was What is Right Action? It's How Devotees Rise and What is Right Action. And the very final part of the reading, at least in the expanded reading, where Swamiji talks about what we talk about often and what we know, that seva or serving and meditation, that those are the two parts of our spiritual path, the two elements. They come together. That's what I love about this picture, is that this picture, Swamiji is serving Master, but you can just feel how centered, how uplifted, how present with his guru he is. And Swamiji, well, the Gita reading, of course, for today says, we can't not act. So the way that we act is we continuously remind ourselves that all of our action is for God, certainly, but more importantly, in God, with God's consciousness. And of course, the only way to ultimately be able to dive deep and attune ourselves with that consciousness is through meditation. So when Master said to Swamiji, your life will be a path of service and deep meditation, he was in essence saying to Swamiji, this is the path to freedom. This is what you'll do. This is what you'll demonstrate to all of the students who come to you. This is how you will serve in the world, always with that attitude as much as we can, that we're serving God, and that our consciousness is as high as it can be. It doesn't matter what we're doing. It doesn't matter at all. We've all heard so many stories of different people just fetching water, making gardens, cleaning hospital rooms. I've told stories. People who have attained a very high level of consciousness because they knew, they remembered that they were serving God. And our souls, as I said before, always remember. So the more we can tune into that or pay better attention each time with each action, with each conversation that we have, when we pronoun before an altar, whatever we're doing, that we're doing it in the consciousness of the divine and as an act of service. And Swamiji says very clearly that in that action, in that behaving that way, in that balance. Sorry, I keep wanting to look for Swamiji's words because they're so beautiful. But it is the path back to God. As I said before, there's endless, endless ways to fall. There's one story. I'll end with this story. I don't remember the saint's name, but it was a saint who was teaching in the early 1900s, and a woman came to him for counseling. And she sat down and started telling her story and started crying. And the saint just went into a cross-leg position and he started meditating. And he just stayed in that deep meditative state. And she kept crying, she just told the story over a long, her story, her life story as she saw it. And she was getting aggravated. She was saying, is he not at all compassionate? Does he not care? And he was just meditating. And then at some point, he turned to her and he said to her, Om, Om, Om. Just like that. And the woman said, in that moment, her whole story left her and she was able to live the rest of her life serving God from a very high place. Our stories, there are stories. So in that way, they matter because they get us to a point on the path where we can take our next steps. But we have to be so mindful to let the stories go. Very inviting to want to keep telling them, living them. And as I've said many times, the thought comes to me very often, Shanti, do you want to be right or do you want to learn something here? And it's an incredible and important distinction. And I would just close by reading this path again that Swamiji wrote here. Concentrate on spiritual ideals helps us to feel attracted to them. From this attraction grows the desire to live by them. The desire to live spiritually develops into an intense yearning for God. Such divine yearning flames to impatience with anything that might prevent one from realizing him. From this impatience with lesser realities arises total absorption in the consciousness of God. From such absorption, or this inner communion that's so vitally important on our path, ensues forgetfulness of the senses. And from sense forgetfulness arises indifference to worldly modes of thinking and behaving. Estrangement from worldly consciousness results in this complete annihilation of delusion.
Life flows on like a river that homes to the sea. 1 hour bounding through mountain vales, 1 hour winding through a lea. None may linger on the way, none may coax time to stay. Fleeting scenes move by us like a dream. Cling not, none will be your own. Never grieve to be alone. Go within you, there's your home.